This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 24th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the second part of our series on water in central Illinois. We take a look at the quality issue today. We'll also get a forecast. Our weather forecaster Mike Sola brings us that. First, a look at today's news. U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald's office is giving out few details about an alleged scheme to have him removed from office. Prosecutors made the allegation yesterday in the trial of political fundraiser Tony Rezko. Mike Rhee has more.
Federal prosecutors say the plan was to put an end to Fitzgerald's investigation into corruption in state government. They say a former state official, Ali Atta, had a conversation with Rezko about it. Allegedly, Rezko knew about a plan to have Fitzgerald fired to squash the investigation. In addition, prosecutors say former White House advisor Karl Rove and Republican National Committeeman Robert Shalander were working on the scheme. Atta this week pleaded guilty to fraud and lying to the FBI about how he got his state job. He could be a witness in Resco's trial. Meantime, Rove's attorney denies Rove ever discussed trying to have Fitzgerald fired. Shalander did not immediately return a call for comment. I'm Mike Reed.
Bill Black is back in the running for his Illinois House seat in the 104th District. We have that story from AM 580's Jim Meadows.
Black had announced last summer that his current House term would be his last, and Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower ran in his place in the February Republican primary. But after Eisenhower dropped out of the race earlier this month, the 66-year-old Black said he'd run again if he was asked. Last night, Republican precinct committee members asked him, slating him to run for a 12th term. Champaign County Republican Chairman Jason Berrickman says despite his earlier retirement plans, Black is enthusiastic about running again.
When he and I talked about the potential of him running and being our candidate a few weeks back, I communicated with him. He told me, if you guys want me to do it, I will put 110% effort into it, and I absolutely believe him.
And Berrickman says Black assured Republicans last night that he does nothing half-heartedly. Black is the downstate deputy Republican leader in the Illinois House. He'll face Democrat and Vermilion County Board member Lori DeYoung in the November election. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A healthcare consumer group appears to have won an initial fight in an effort to block the shift of billions of Medicaid dollars from the federal government to states. But Families USA is keeping tabs on the situation, what the group says would cost Illinois $2.5 billion over 5 years. Yesterday, the House voted to block the Bush administration's proposed rule changes to the healthcare program by passing a one-year moratorium. The president has threatened to veto, but both the House and the Senate may have enough votes to override it. Illinois Medicaid Director Teresa Eagleson says the state has done a lot to ramp up its Medicaid program and should be rewarded and not penalized.
This is supposed to be a partnership between the states and the federal government. As in many other states, again, Illinois realized that there could be a significant impact of these rules. And as I said, the largest impact is on services to children, such as claiming through school programs, early intervention, and care management for people with disabilities.
The executive director of Families USA, Ron Pollack, says those proposed cuts would have had a ripple effect because of the present economy and could drive up the number of people who may need Medicaid. A leader in helping the public get access to government records in Illinois has been picked to help put Pennsylvania's new open records law into action. Terry Mutchler is leaving the Illinois Attorney General's office to become the executive director of Pennsylvania's new Office of Open Records. A law passed this year overhauls Pennsylvania's public access law, which had been one of the nation's weakest. Mutchler is a former journalist who worked for the Associated Press in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Illinois, and Alaska before becoming an attorney. University of Illinois students donned T-shirts yesterday reading "Take Up Space" and "A Woman's Place is in the Center" as they continue a call for a center dedicated to women's issues. A noon-hour sit-in outside the Swanland building was the group's second protest in 6 weeks. Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs Renee Romano made a brief appearance before the group. She says the U of I is already in the early stages of plans for a women's center with its own programming space, but Romano says the planning needs to be deliberate.
We've got some information that they've put together already, and as we go forward, we'll really need to work with students in partnership to gather information from students and to involve students in the conversation.
Student organizer Caitlin Reedy is happy that plans for additional space for cultural groups will include a women's center, but she says the pace so far is too slow.
And we finally have gotten included in that, but they're still not really taking us as seriously as they probably should. They've kind of told us that we need to prove to them that we really are serious about it.
Supporters of a separate women's center say other Big Ten schools and the U of I Springfield campus already have them. The Urbana campus has an office for women's programs, but Reedy says it's not the same as having a safe space to discuss gender-specific problems. Movie critic Roger Ebert's wife, Chaz, told a crowd at last night's Ebertfest Film Festival in Champaign that her husband wishes he could be there. The famous movie critic and Urbana native had to miss this year's festival after breaking his hip. His wife kicked things off at the Virginia Theater with an apology for holding the festival without the man it's named after. She told the crowd that she's an Ebert, but she's no Roger Ebert. Later, the crowd shouted in unison, "Get well, Roger." Ebert wrote on his blog and the Sun-Times website yesterday that his doctors have told him he should remain in the Chicago hospital rather than travel. Ebert has been a Sun-Times film critic for more than 40 years. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. There may be an abundance of water in central Illinois, but it is important to examine how good that water is. Illinois Public Radio's Kavitha Cardoza takes a look at the complex issue of water quality in the second part of the series on water issues.
Gary Niemeyer farms 2,100 acres of land near Auburn, Illinois. For almost 40 years, springtime has meant spraying crops with thousands of gallons of chemicals. These fertilizers and insecticides are used to control weeds, bugs, and to increase yield. He looks around the flatland, where corn stalks turn golden in the morning sunlight, and points to a 60-foot-wide grassy filter strip around the property. The strip is meant to help keep all the chemically treated soil contained, rather than wash it off into water supplies.
This was the original filter strip.
Oh, that's Lake Springfield.
And that's the reason we did this.
I didn't realize it was so close.
That's exactly the reason why we did it on this particular piece of ground.
Niemeyer has just bought an electronic gadget that automatically turns off the chemical sprayers as the tractor reaches his farmland boundaries. He says he's made these changes because chemicals are very expensive. But Niemeyer says these chemicals are still necessary. Filter strips already mean less money because they take up land that could be used to grow corn or soybeans. And without chemicals, Niemeyer estimates he'd face up to a 60% cut in yield.
There's an environmental rally which every farmer really wants. I mean, I live here. I drink the water out of the ground that comes into our house, so I want to make sure I have safe water. But then there's an economic reality as well.
These changes to farming have helped. But since central Illinois is over 90% farmland, it's not surprising chemicals used in agriculture, such as phosphorus, nitrates, and atrazine, are major sources of water pollution. Chemicals seep into the soil and later run off into water sources. Some of these chemicals harm human organs. Others act as nutrients for aquatic plants, causing an imbalance in the water's oxygen levels. Farther east, the city of Decatur is very familiar with nitrate runoff from farmlands. Just over 5 years ago, whenever the nitrate level exceeded the state-mandated level, city officials had to distribute thousands of gallons of bottled water to area residents. The state required Decatur find a permanent solution. So the city built a $7 million nitrate removal facility that's still being used today.
This monitors how much the nitrate level is going out of each one of the process units, whichever one.
Today, water production manager Rob Shirley proudly says they test for about 200 chemicals and are meeting all state standards for clean drinking water. He says now they even work on the aesthetics of water.
We spend a tremendous amount of our budget on carbon, and carbon is what absorbs the taste and odor out of your water. Now, there's times in the lake when the lake water, we get an algae bloom, which is in the summertime, especially in a drought condition. And that's when typically water supplies, not only ours, but others, will have that issue where you get a slight earthy taste. You can take the size of the head of a pin and drop it into a million gallons of water, and you're able to taste it if it's a type of that type of an algae, because they secrete an oil.
But it's far harder to get people's long-term memories under control. Sherry Flanagan says none of her friends or colleagues drink the Decatur water, and she doesn't allow her three children to drink it either.
I'm not even really sure what I think is dirty in there, but just coming from Decatur Lake, when you go by it and look at it, it's pretty nasty. It's, ugh.
Decatur city officials say they'll continue to try and change those perceptions through educational outreach. There are several other forms of water pollution. Mercury from coal-fired power plants heads the list of known substances. Mercury affects the central nervous system. Springfield's power plants, for example, emit 43 pounds of mercury every year. The new unit that's being built will reduce that amount. There's also fecal coliform bacteria, bacteria that ends up in water sources when septic systems or livestock waste is poorly maintained. There's urban runoff from golf courses and lawns. There are also accidental sources of pollution. Every week, there are at least two tractor-trailer accidents in the state with gasoline or diesel spills, or one such as the recent explosion at one of Springfield's power plant units. Those chemicals can seep into a community's water supply. And Maggie Carson, spokesperson for the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, says there are sources of water pollution from long past, such as contaminants from old industries.
Old gas stations are a classic example of that because they were everywhere. They were on every street corner in every small town in the 30s and 40s and 50s. And some of them just went by the wayside. That's before they were even required to be registered.
Some sources of pollution are naturally occurring. About 90% of rural Illinois residents use water from private wells as their source of drinking water. Al Werman, director of the Center for Groundwater Science at the Illinois State Water Survey, says there are hundreds, perhaps thousands of wells in central Illinois that may have elevated levels of naturally occurring arsenic. Arsenic increases the risk of cancer. Werman says there are wells with 10 times the safe level of arsenic.
We have found a few wells that are over 100.
That are actually being used?
Yes.
Werman says these private wells are usually tested only for bacteria and nitrates, not for arsenic. So after listing a scary number of sources of pollution, how good is the water quality in central Illinois? What should be a simple question has many complex answers. Mainly it depends on who is using the water and for what. In the most recent state reports, humans getting drinking water from municipal sources generally have high-quality water. Fish and aquatic life don't fare as well. The majority of streams and lakes in Illinois are not even sampled. IEPA officials say it's impossible given their staff and resources. Water quality also depends on what you're testing for. Recent media reports found trace amounts of chemicals, including antibiotics, mood stabilizers, and sex hormones in public drinking water in several states. The federal government doesn't require any testing and hasn't set safety limits for drugs in water. Illinois will soon begin testing water supplies for some of those chemicals. The US EPA is asking for public comment on over 100 possible drinking water contaminants that officials say may affect human health and may need to be regulated in the future. The list includes chemicals used in industry, agriculture, and disinfection byproducts. Tracy Barkley, a research scientist with Prairie Rivers Network, says there are two main natural ways to clean water. One is through wetlands, 90% of which have been cleared in Illinois. Barkley says the biological processes there help break down contaminants. Another, she says, is to allow water to seep through the ground and be filtered by soil particles before it gets back into aquifers.
With so much development and so many impenetrable surfaces, that water is being directed towards the streams and rivers through the storm systems without any cleansing, with any filtration. So the two ways that nature has provided for us to clean our water, we've decimated.
Barkley says there needs to be a bigger push to keep sources of water clean, not just because of other living beings, but also because of the costs and energy associated with having to clean the raw water. That, she says, eventually falls on taxpayers. I'm Kavita Cardoza.
Tomorrow, in the third and final report on our series this week on water issues in central Illinois, we'll look at the future of water in the region. Rain rain is back in the picture in the Illinois and Indiana forecast for the next couple of days. Our forecast in Illinois calls for a partly to mostly cloudy sky with scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly in western Illinois. Partly to mostly sunny still in Indiana, though, today. Highs between 70 in northern Illinois and 84 in south-central Indiana. Champaign's high today, 81 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy in Illinois with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. In Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers arriving after midnight. Lows from 56 in northern Indiana to 63 in southwest Illinois. The low in Champaign-Urbana, 59, with occasional showers and storms. For tomorrow, in Illinois, mostly cloudy again with showers and scattered thunderstorms. In Indiana, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms becoming more numerous in the afternoon. And tomorrow's highs ranging from near 70 in northwest Indiana to 83 in far southern Indiana. The Champaign-Urbana high tomorrow, 78. Then some thunderstorms through Friday night, then becoming partly cloudy Friday night into Saturday. A cooler low Friday night of 45. Saturday, partly sunny and only 60. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 24th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.